Hebrews chapter 13, we started this morning, and we started the first point of our message this morning, talking about God's path for 2016. We were reminded in verse 6 that the Lord is our helper. I'm glad we have someone we can go to for help in the coming year. And again, don't know where we're, what we'll face, what we'll encounter, but I'm glad we have someone we can go to. Verse 6, the Bible tells Hebrews chapter 13, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I'm glad he's my constant helper. There's times when your mate can't help. There's times when the preacher doesn't have an answer. There's a times when parents don't have any wisdom and a clear direction. But I'm glad I can go to the Lord. He is my helper. And verse 80, we get encouraged again, remind us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. He's never going to alter his course. He's never going to change his mind. He's a guy we can depend upon. He's a guy that we can count upon. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then we get down to verse 20, where we mentioned this morning with the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, Paul's reminding them that the Christian life is a relationship. It's not about rules. It's not about the law. It's not good works. But it's about relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul emphasizes that in chapters 1 to chapter 10. In chapter 11, we mentioned this morning, he gives us a role model. That role model, a number of role models in chapter 11. Some are named, some are not named. Verse 38 tells us about those who are not named. And the Bible says this about them, of whom the world was not worthy. What a compliment. What a statement. There are those that the Bible does not even name, and the Bible says that the world's not even worthy of them. That's what kind of role models they were. And we find some role models in chapter 11, and chapter 12, and chapter 13 is a resolution. In chapter 13, the end of the chapter, verse 20, verse 21, is, if you would, the last charge of that resolution. Notice verse 20, if you would, please stand with us out of reverence for the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll read just two verses tonight for sake of time. Notice verse 20, now the God of peace, we talked about that this morning. The first thing we looked at in the path of 2016 is the person. Who's going to travel the path with you this year? I'm glad, as I mentioned this morning, I'm glad we have friends in Christ that will share the path with us. What a joy it is to come together with a body of believers and enjoy fellowship. I enjoy being in God's house. I love being around God's people. And we had a great time Friday night. As you could tell on the video that we showed earlier, we had a great time Friday night just being around God's people. Had a great time at camp being around God's people. And I'm thankful for friends and for loved ones and for relatives who will go the path with you. But I'll tell you, they can't be there every step of the path. I enjoy spending time with my children, but I can't be there for them anymore. They're in three different locations, or will soon be in three different locations in two different states. I can't always be there with them. Wish I could, but I can't. And there's times you have to travel a path alone, but the God of peace, verse 20, the God of peace is our companion. He's our person. May the God of peace, brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us this evening as we continue that thought of our path for 2016. We don't know what we'll encounter, don't know what we'll face, but Lord, I'm glad we know of a certainty that we learned this morning there's a God of peace that travels with us. And Lord, we thank you for the comforting principles that we learned this morning about that God of peace that's found throughout the New Testament. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to take the remainder of these truths tonight and apply them, and may they be usable. May we leave here challenged to serve you in a greater capacity, to draw closer to you. Because you never change. You're the same yesterday and today and forever. And the God of Elijah and the God of Moses and the God of Abraham and the God of the Apostle Paul is still our God today. And Lord, help us to walk with courage and with confidence that you're with us every step of the way. That whatever we face this year, whatever obstacles we have to overcome, that you're our helper in time of need. And we thank you for that. Bless now your word according to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We looked this morning at the person, and we talked about the God of peace. What a great comfort. I love that title that we talked about, many titles, as you can tell, in the last year or so. And I love that title, the God of peace. By the way, let me just stop and say this before we go any further, that your view of God really determines your relationship of God. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? Who do men say that I am? And some of the disciples said, well, some think you're a good teacher. And some think you're Moses, and some think you're Elijah, and some think you're a teacher. We have two very different concepts of God today in society. There's a certain aspect of society that views God as an old man in a rocking chair, not really involved in the affairs of man, and not really in caring about individuals, but just kind of a jolly old man in a rocking chair and not really concerned about what's going on. And some people have that view of God, and so therefore their life is told by their view of God, that God's not really interested, that God does not care, that God is not involved, so therefore they have no desire to have God involved. There are some in society that think God is just an angry man with a lightning bolt in each hand ready to zap somebody. Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad that's not a picture of my God. My God is a God of mercy. According to verse 20, He's a God of peace. And the God of peace we talked about this morning, the God of peace is a God of promise. He's a God of practice. He God is a God that wants us to live that which we learn. He's a God of purity, according to 1 Thessalonians. And also He's a God of provision. Verse 20, He's a great shepherd. And the shepherd's a picture of a provision. So we see the person that goes with us on our path in 2016. Don't you know, second of all, not only do we see the person, notice number two, we see the process. Notice verse 21, make you perfect in every good work. Now the God of peace, verse 20, make you perfect in every good work. Number two, there's a process. Understand that this coming year, we take one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time. If we could see what God has planned for our life, I don't think we could handle it. We'd be scared to death. If we saw some of the battles that we're going to face, if you were to look back and see some things that God has brought you through, if God were to give you a preview of what you were going to face and say, Lord, I can't take that. Lord, I can't handle that. But yet God has given you the grace. God's given you the guidance to go through those difficulties and those obstacles. And so we understand that life is a process. And this coming year is going to be a process. And notice what the process is about. John chapter 17, verse 23. And I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. And understand that when we go through life, understand that the trials of life and the elements that God wants us to go through is a process. Number one, every process has a master. Brother Kurt Skelly brought a tremendous message on Wednesday morning, the last message of the retreat, about the potter and the clay. One of the most practical messages I think I've ever heard. And I encourage you to get a CD of that message. It was very helpful. But he talked about the master. And I say to you, in the processes you go through this year, in the things you encounter, understand that everything you go through is a process. We'll talk about the purpose in just a moment. But understand every process has a master. Notice what the Bible says. Turn, if you will, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And understand the process, according to verse 21, is to make you perfect. God is developing you. God is strengthening you. God is putting you sometimes through the valley, sometimes through the mountaintop. Because we need all of those to make us the individual that we are. Thank God it's not always sunshine. Thank God it's not always rain. Now, we've had our share of rain here lately, and I've been glad to see some sunshine for a while. But understand, for things to grow, it takes the sunshine and it takes the rain. Sometimes it takes the wind. Now, we don't always enjoy the wind when during a storm time, but sometimes it takes the wind. It's a process. It takes both. But understand this, whatever God takes you through, He's perfecting you, He's establishing you, He's making you more like His image, and involved in that, we understand that there is a master in that. Look in Colossians chapter 1, look in verse 9, if you would please. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Understand, first of all, there's a master involved. He said, with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, I don't know what God will use to perfect us this year. There are certain things we go through that we don't necessarily enjoy. There are certain things that we encounter. Some of you face obstacles and trials that perfect you, and they make you stronger and they make you more like Christ. We don't always enjoy those. But understand, there's a master designer at work. When you go through the difficulties of life and you face obstacles and you face challenges, remember there's a God, and it's a knowledge of His will, not our will. We can look back on things and say, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. There's one certain incident that took place, I think of often, that took place in our church. And I'm going to tell you, had I had my plans and my ambitions and my desire, it would have never panned out or never unfolded the way it did. That was not the way I intended it to happen. But I'm going to tell you, that's the way God intended it to happen. And I think there's many folks in our church who grew because of that and developed because of that and matured in their faith because of that. It's not the way I would have planned it out. Matter of fact, I was praying for a different course. I was praying God to work in a different way, but God chose not to work that way. So understand the process of life. In the process of perfecting us, again, the goal of the idea of verse 21 is to make you perfect in every good work. God wants to perfect us. And the truth of the matter is, we all have some rough edges that kind of need to be knocked off every once in a while. And in that perfecting, in that process, remember, there's a master. And the master is always right. The master always has a perfect plan. My plans don't always work. By the way, your plans don't always work. Sometimes we can scheme and plan and prepare and manipulate, but I want to tell you, the master planner has a master design. So understand the process of perfecting us, there's a master. Number two, in the process of perfecting us, not only is there a master, but there's a molding. Notice, if you will, please, in verse 10 of Colossians chapter 1, Verse 9 says we are looking to fulfill the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy, O Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Understand, not only is there a master, but there's a molding. There's a molding. Some of you remember Brother Carl Stelzer, who came here a few years ago, and he's a master potter from Pensacola Christian College, and he set up his potter's wheel on the platform. Some of you remember that, and he demonstrated for us Jeremiah chapter 23, where the master potter takes the clay and he molds that clay into a vessel that is useful. And one of the key elements in molding that clay is the pressure that is applied to the piece of clay. Understand, that's the molding. Notice what he said in verse 11 and verse 10, that you might walk verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Verse 11, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Understand, not only is there a master in the process of perfecting us as believers, but there's also a molding. That molding sometimes means pressure. That molding sometimes means being bent or being shaped in a place that is not comfortable. It's not conformed our image. Some of you have been to, and maybe are, now you go to a chiropractor and they'll put you in a brace. And that brace, when I was a kid, I had some problems with my feet. My feet were turned inward. And for a number of years, I had to wear braces on my legs. And back in those days, they weren't contoured as nicely as they were. They were heavy. They were metal. They hurt. And I hated those things. And I finally figured out how at night to kick those things off and get them off my legs and kick them off. And my daddy would hear those things thud on the floor, because, again, they were heavy metal. And he'd hear those things thud on the floor, and he'd come back in. And so finally I got smart enough to take them off and just push them to the end of the bed, so they wouldn't make a noise and he wouldn't come in and put them on in the middle of the night again. But those braces were to form my feet in the proper position. Now, they weren't comfortable. They were not enjoyable. They applied pressure. Sometimes you go to a doctor or a chiropractor, and they'll put you in a brace, and that brace will mold your maybe an arm or a leg or your back into the position it ought to be in. It's not comfortable. It's not very, it doesn't move very well. It doesn't bend. It's not very flexible. It's kind of stiff. It's kind of unenjoyable, if you will. But that mold, that cast, if you will, that brace, if you will, is there to perfect that which is wrong in your body. May I say to you that when God perfects us, that's a process. That process is a master. That process has a molding. And it's interesting, he says, unto all patience and long-suffering. Then he says, with joyfulness. Now, you can do like I did. You can fight against the brace. And you can kick it off. And you can resist it. But I'm going to tell you, when we do that, you know what? We never get formed in the place where God wants us to form. We never are perfected. And so the process of being perfected by God has a master. It has a molding. Notice number three, it has a mission. Notice, if you would please, verse 11. He says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, as even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Notice that phrase, to the end he may establish your hearts. Understand, there's a mission in the process of perfectionist. That mission is to make us like him. One day we're going to be we'll be like him. Some of you remember the song we used to sing when I was a kid. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. He's still working on me. I want to tell you, he's still working on us. And that master, the process of being perfected in Christ has a master. It has involves a molding, and it involves a mission. Understand that the forming and the molding and the shaping that God does in our life has a purpose, and that purpose is to be more like him. One day we're going to be like him. We'll be perfect like him, but God wants us to be like him down here. Say, preacher, what's the point of being like him down here? Well, the more we look like him and the more we represent him and the more we picture him down here, the more people are drawn to him. So there's a process. In 2016, what's the path? Well, number one, there's a person. The God of peace goes with us. Number two, there's a process. That process involves a master. I don't always know the best, and I don't always have the best plans, and you and I don't either. We don't always see all that we need to see, but understand that when God puts you in the mold of perfecting you into his image, there's a master plan at work. There's a master. There's molding. There's a mission. The mission is to make you like him. So we see a process. Notice number three very quickly. Look in verse 21 again. Now, what do we see? A process. Make you perfect. In the that phrase, make you, is in the present perfect tense. It really means making you perfect. It's a process. It's an ongoing thing. I wish we could get to the point where we're like him down here completely, but we're not. It's always a process. You never grow in the Christian life to a place to where we can't grow anymore. Understand, it's a process. So not only is it a process making you perfect, but notice the next part. Make you perfect in every good work, verse 21, to do his will. Not only is there a process, but number three, there's a purpose. What's the purpose? Verse 21, to do his will. In 2016, God's got a path for our life. Number one, that path involves a person, the God of peace. That path involves a process. There are trials that you may go through this year. You say, preacher, I'll be glad when this is over. And it's easy to say that. Man, I'll be glad when this lesson is learned. I remember what someone said recently going through a trial. And they said, Lord, I'll be glad when you teach us this lesson, when I learn this lesson. I can't tell you how often I hear that from folks who are going. Matter of fact, Miss Golden said it yesterday. She said, Brother Keith, I don't know what God's trying to teach me, but I wish I'd hurry up and learn it. Well, the truth of the matter is, and let me just say this as a side note, not all the lessons are about us. And I reminded Miss Golden yesterday, I said, Miss Golden, you know, sometimes we try to make all the trials that we go through in life about us. And sometimes it's not about us. I said, Miss Golden, have you seen the nurse that you led to the Lord a few months ago on this very floor? And all of a sudden a smile came across her face and she said, preacher, I forgot about that. You know, sometimes we try to make it all about us. And sometimes it might be for somebody else's benefit. And there are times when we think, Lord, would you get this trial over in my life? And it may be, it's not so much that God's not finished with you. It may be that God's not finished with somebody else. But he's working through you to accomplishing someone else. The purpose is his will, not my will. And so many times we get the idea that the difficulties we go through are all about a lesson for us. God said to you, it's kind of selfish, is it not? Sometimes it's God using us as a tool to be a blessing or be a help, to be a lesson to someone else. And so we see the purpose. The purpose is what? To do his will. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. By the way, sometimes the will of God does involve patience. It takes patience. in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, "For then as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he hath suffered in the flesh, has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Let me give that reference again. I hope you'll write it down. 1 Peter 4, verse 1 and 2. "That he that has been justified should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Once we get saved, God has left us here for the rest of our time, not to fulfill our lust, but to do the will of God in our life. God left you here for a reason. I've heard people say, "Preacher, why is it that when we get saved, why didn't God take us on to heaven?" Because God's got a work for you to do down here. And it's not our will, but it's God's will. So, why doesn't God heal Miss Golden? And I don't know, but it's not about our will. It's about His will. You understand the purpose of us being conformed to the image, the purpose of God perfecting us in every good work is to do His will. The Bible said so in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 42 said, "Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless," this is Jesus speaking, "nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." You understand, even Jesus Christ submitted his will to the will of the Father. And if we're going to be like him, then we must submit our will to the will of the Father. His will is not always what we desire. I will say this. When we submit to His will, it's always what we wish we were glad we had. It may not be what we had planned. It may not be what we pictured. It may not be what we would have drawn up. But I'm going to tell you, if we'll submit ourselves to God's will, when we look back, we will always be glad and say, "Thank God I did God's will, and God has His will done and not my will done." Aren't you glad that God doesn't answer all of our prayers? Some of us would be in a world of hurt tonight if God answered all of our prayers. I'm glad He does it. There's a purpose, and that purpose is to do His will. Notice, if you would, again, verse 21. He said, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in that in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight." So the purpose not only is to do His will, but the purpose is to please Him, working that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Notice what the Bible said in 1 John 3 in verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." John 8 verse 29. "And He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone." Jesus again speaking said, "For I do always those things that please Him." So what's the purpose for 2016? Well, the purpose is to do His will and to please Him. There's a process. That process has a master. That process has a molding. That process has a mission. Then there's a purpose. The purpose of the path, of God's path for this year, is that we would do His will and that we would please Him. Notice the last thing very quickly in verse 22 again. We see the power. We see the power that's involved. Turn, if you would, please, to look in verse 22 real quick. And then we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1 in just a moment. Verse 21, He said, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working," notice two little words, "in you." In you. Now let's turn, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's given the church there, or the group of people he's talking to, the Hebrews there, the Jews. He's given them a resolution. And at the very end of the book, he says, now, matter of fact, in verse 19, he said, "I beseech you, I plead with you, I beg with you," verse 20, "Now the God of peace," that's the person that's going to go with the path of 2016 with you. There's the process. There's the purpose. And then don't you notice the power? Because how many will agree with me we cannot do it on our own? We don't have the ability. We don't have the strength. We don't have the discipline, if you will. Notice verse 20, Ephesians chapter 1. And notice verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. "And what is exceeding greatness of His power?" What is exceeding greatness of His power? Now we can stop right there and there'd be a great verse. I think about the videos we've been showing on Wednesday night, the creation videos, and those little 5 and 8 minute clips about God's power in creation. Now think about God's power and God's might. Think about just the human body and how powerful God is. You think about nature and creation and think about how powerful God is. But notice verse 19 again. "And what is exceeding greatness, not just the greatness, but the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Understand that all the power that God utilized in creation, all the power that God utilized in building this planet and all that's created and all that he made, understand that all the power that God utilized in the creation of the world, God directs toward his people, toward you and I. What a great thought that is. Notice in verse 19 again, he said, "And what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Look, if you would, please, in chapter 3 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, and look in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. Notice verse 7, "Wherever I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Look in verse 16. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." Verse 20. He says, "Now in him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And what a great statement. "And him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So look in chapter 6 and look in verse 10. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul finishes this chapter, or this book rather, to the church at Ephesus with chapter 6 and verse 10. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. "Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power." May I say to you that whatever we encounter this coming year, we'll have to do it with his power. We cannot do it on our own. There's a lot of benefits of being in a place in ministry, of being in a church for a long time. And a lot of benefits. One of the greatest benefits is seeing, looking down years gone by and seeing God's grace and God's power. Matter of fact, when in verse, I believe it is in Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about the riches of his grace. Verse 7, he talks about, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, he talks about according to the gift of the grace of God by the working of his power. One of the benefits of being in a ministry a long time in one place is seeing how God's grace and God's power has worked in places where you didn't think it would work. And in people who didn't believe it could work. I could give a lot of illustrations tonight. And if you'll forgive me, I just want to take one. I remember vividly one of the longest days of my ministry. The day that the Lord called April Tyson home to be with him. I remember going out to the Tyson home. And Brother Tyson, I don't think you've ever driven so slow in all of your life. But that drive from Phoebe Putney to his house. My dad and I were in the truck behind him. We tried to get him to let one of us drive, and he would have none of it. I don't know if you know about this, about Brother Charles, but he can be a tad stubborn. Just saying. He has a strong will, does he not? And he said, "No, sir." He said, "I'm driving." And so we drove, and it seemed like an eternity. Boy, I remember so vividly going in the living room and Brother Charles giving the news to Sister Virginia. And I remember the words that she said, "How in the world are we going to make it?" And I'm going to be honest with you, humanly speaking, I thought, "Lord, I have no idea." But I'm going to tell you, to see God's power work in them like I had never seen before. I remember the first, I'd been here, I don't remember, I think a couple months. And just starting on staff here, just been here just a couple months. And many of you remember very vividly that December night. I think it was December. We took a trip to America's Georgia. Was it December night? January? Been here just a couple months. I remember it was cold. I remember that. And I remember my dad and I getting in the vehicle and flying up to America's. And I remember so many of you being in that emergency room that night with Brother Tim and his family. God called Brother Tim's mom home to be with the Lord that night. And And boy, I remember seeing God's power in such a vivid, demonstrative way. When our flesh would fail us, God's power was there. And I've seen that over and over and over and over again. When many of you thought, preacher, I can't make another day. I can't bear another moment. I can't suffer another setback. I can't have another heartbreak. But God's power was when you... Notice again verse 21, our text verse. Make you perfect in every work to do His will according... working in you. Can I say to you that it's not our power, but it's His power? Now, those are memories that none of us want to relive. Those are days that none of us want to recall. I will say that when we do look back, we see an unbelievable working of God's power and an unbelievable demonstration of God's power. Why? Because the God of peace travels with you. The God of peace is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And while I hope that 2016 is vastly different for many of you, that there's victories ahead and there's good times ahead and there's no heartache and no pain, the reality is that suffering comes to all of us. And some have been through theirs. And some this year will go through them. I'm going to tell you, in the path of 2016, I'm glad there's a God of peace that goes with me. There's a process in which He's perfecting us to be like Him. That process has a master. Yield to the master. That process has a molding. Not always comfortable. Not always fits just right like we think we ought to fit, but it's got a molding. There's a pressure that performs that which the mission, and that is to make us like Him. There's a purpose to do His will, to be pleasing in His sight. And then there's a power. The power that works in us. Not just any power, but the exceeding greatness of His power. Above all that we ask or think. If some of you were to be honest, and I close with this, you would look back and you would say, matter of fact, some of you said a number of years ago about certain individuals, perhaps about the Tysons. Man, I'm glad that was them, because I'm going to tell you, I could never go through what they've been through. Then a few years later, you went through what they went through. And while you did not have the strength at that moment that they went through it, because God had not yet given you the strength, but God would give you the strength. And by the way, Brother Charles, Miss Virginia, you didn't have that strength. One day before that happened, you didn't have that strength either. But in that moment, in that time, in God's perfecting, in God's master plan, He gives exactly what we need. The power worketh in us. You say, preacher, I don't have that power today. Well, guess what? You don't need it today. But when you need it, it's there. In the path of 2016, there's a person, the God of peace. There's a process. There's a purpose to do His will and to be pleasing in His sight. And there's a power that works in us. I don't think I can handle what I'm going to face this year. Well, can I say to you, you can't. And I can't either. But there's a power that's in us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.